Turn with me this morning to the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Beginning at verse 4, let us read from verse 4 to verse 8 of Galatians chapter 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That Spirit cries, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, you're not any more a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God," and we've labored on that so much, "that a man by nature knows not God, regardless of his rank or title or his personage or his education. By nature, no man knows God. If a man ever finds out who God is, it'll be by revelation, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It will be God revealing Himself. And when He reveals Himself to us, it'll be in Christ Jesus. And when that takes place, we'll no longer be slaves or servants. We'll be sons, entitled to an inheritance by our joint heirship with God in Christ." Let us look at the first statement there in verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time was come," this time was agreed upon. When the fullness of time was come, this time was agreed upon and fixed upon by the eternal Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son. Time fixed upon by the Holy Trinity. A set time. He didn't come before His time or after His time. He came according to a fixed time. Time was fixed by the blessed three in one: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A fixed time when the Son of God would come and assume a human nature. incarnation. God would be born of a woman. When God would become a man in the fullness of time, a fixed time. It was God's appointed time. God's appointed time. It was determined from the beginning. It was not something that was thought of after the fall of man, but it was fixed by the Trinity, by God Himself, and appointed before time ever was. He determined, God determined from the beginning to send the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to save His people from their sins in the fullness of time. God sent His Son to redeem His people, to pay the ransom price, to pay what they owed, discharge their liabilities. God chose a people out of Adam's fallen race unto Himself. And sent the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time, born of a woman, made of a woman, to redeem those that He chose in Himself according to His good pleasure before time ever was, before the world ever was. God fixed a time. God appointed a time. Christ came not behind His time or before His time. He came in God's time. Our times are in His hand. Our times are in His hand. I read that to you tonight in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to mourn. There's times to a time to fix and a time to cast away. Time to pick up stones. Time to gather them and time to throw them away. Fullness of time. Over here in the book of Ephesians it says this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ah, blessed be His name, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to know God, to know who He is, to know Him is to call Him blessed. Blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All things are yours in Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him. How'd you get in Him? God put you in Christ if you're in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him. When did He do that? Before the world ever was. Before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, we can't be holy and without blame before Him apart from us being in Jesus Christ. You're holy and without blame before God in Christ. In Christ, not in yourself, but it's in Him. No wonder the apostle could say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is He. He hath chosen us in Him before the world was, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." No man, the the most holiest of God's saints that ever was and ever will be cannot in himself be absolutely holy and without blame before God. He cannot be. But he says that we should be, and we will be, and we are. And the only way that we should be, will be, and can be is to be in Jesus Christ, who is the perfect, sinless one. You see that? You understand that? You can't be holy and without blame in yourself before God. It's got to be in Jesus Christ. It's got to be made accepted in Him. Well, God chose a people out of Adam's fallen race. I read that to you. And He appointed the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to be their surety and their Savior and their substitute. He appointed Him. He sent Him. He commissioned Him. He gave Him authority because He sent Him. See that? It says in Galatians 4, it says, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son." God sent Him in His time, not before His time or behind His time, but the time determined by God Himself. He came at the hour, the very minute, the very second that God had determined. God appoints the time of every event. When I die and you die, you can be truthful in saying it. He or she died at God's time, not at your. You say, well, what if someone shoots himself? Well, that'd be God's time. That'll be God's time. Whatever the situation, circumstance, or the surroundings are, it's appointed by God. Our times are fixed by God. Our time, the measure of our years. God appoints the time of every event. All time is in His hand. They are no loose threads in the providence of God Almighty. There is no stitches dropped, no events left to chance. The great clock of the universe keeps perfect time. Perfect time. God willed it to be, and where it was to be, and His will to us is the ultimate cause and the ultimate reason. God willed it. God predetermined it. God fixed it. God appointed it and sent Him. Now, His coming. Let's talk a little bit concerning His coming, the Son of God. The fullness of time was come. When it was time, no need to ask questions. Why did He come? Why didn't He come at this particular time in this year or that year? There's no need to even discuss that or even raise questions. He came in the fullness of God's time, and God sent His Son. Now, one thing I want you to notice here. It was not that we moved towards God, but it was that God moved towards us. The world never sought after its maker. No, the world world, you and I, there was not a time that I was looking for God. I never looked for God. When God saved me, He was looking for me. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't looking for Him. I had no acquaintance with Him. I knew nothing about Him. All that I knew about Him was what someone told me, and they didn't know who He was either. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't repenting of my sins. I wasn't crying out to God, begging Him to come and do something on my behalf. I wasn't looking for Him. He was looking for me. He found me. I didn't find Him. I found Him after He first found me. God is not lost. You and I are lost. God sent Him. God sent Him. We never sought after our Maker, but the offended God Himself. It was God who was offended by our iniquity and our transgression and our sins. And the offended God Himself, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, it was God Himself who condescended into the woman's womb, the virgin's womb. It was God Himself who was offended. It was God, in His infinite compassion, in His great love and His mercy, it was He, God Himself, that broke the silence and came forth to redeem a certain number of Adam's fallen race. You see, all things began with God. They don't begin with you or I. They begin with God. It's not when you found Him. It's when He found you. And that's grace. God sent forth His Son. I take great pleasure in that expression. Great pleasure when God sent forth His Son. I'll tell you why. Because it seals the whole work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ did and everything that was done by Christ was commissioned and authorized by the Father Himself. God sent Him. You see, here, the Lord Jesus Christ is called His Son. Notice, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is called His Son, which tells me that He existed before He was born. He always was. He always will be. It's with Him that we have to do here this morning. He that existed before He was born. That is, He was already in being, or He could not have been sent. If He had no being, how could He be sent? He had being. He existed. And God sent Him. God sent Him. God authorized Him. God commissioned Him. He has God's authority. And the Bible says He was made of a woman. Made of a woman. You may understand it better if I say, made to be born of a woman, which is the same thing. Made to be born of a woman. Now listen to me. He was. He was and is. But in this case, He was. Truly and really of the substance of His mother, the Virgin Mary. Just like any other baby that is born into this world. God did not create the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ apart and then transmit it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh no, God did not do that. She was the substance of who He was. That woman, He was made to be born of a woman. A woman. What a high and blessed privilege a woman has. That God become a man, incarnated in her womb. And his human nature was the substance of His mother. His Son was made, born of a woman. He is not only of humanity, but He is of our humanity. He did not send an angel. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a man. Our humanity. He became one of us, our brother. You see, He was born of a woman, not of a man. Born of a woman, not of a man. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed that Virgin Mary, and that holy thing that was born of her was born without original sin. We are, by natural descent, born in sin, conceived in iniquity. And on our nature, we are tainted with original sin, which we got from our father, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Oh, listen. He was made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, all whom He represented, He's a substitute for sinners. He's the Savior of sinners. He's going to die. He's going to live and die as somebody's representative. Now, I know that He didn't live and die for all men. I know that, because if He did, all men would be saved. If there's some that Christ died for, listen to me now, if there's some that Christ died for and yet they go to hell, then Christ failed. Christ failed in His work. If one for whom Christ died perishes and ultimately goes into the pit, you can say that the Lord Jesus Christ was a failure. But He's no failure. He shall not fail. He shall see the travail of His seed and be satisfied. He shall not fail. All whom He represented. See, now you could, I know that the majority of the religionists of our day, all the major denominations and the minor denominations, all of them believe where it says, in the fullness of times come, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. They take that to mean that when the Lord Jesus Christ, when God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that means that He is the Redeemer for every member of Adam's race. Doesn't mean that because every member of Adam's race is not saved now. Men have died and went to hell. Hitler died and went to hell, didn't he? Judas died and went to hell, didn't he? Well, what about them? What about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that die every day? No hope in the Lord Jesus. Never trusted in Christ. He died for those that the Father gave Him before time ever was. He died for those that God Himself chose before the world ever was. And those that He died for, sooner or later, is going to hear the good news. God's going to open their ears. He's going to open their eyes. He's going to open their intelligence. And they're going to see Jesus as their Savior and their substitute, and they're going to trust Him. Now, that's all there are to it. They're going to do it. You say, I'm not. I'm not. If you're His, you will. He'll make you willing. He'll make you willing. He'll soften your heart of flesh, your heart of stone. And He'll give you a heart of flesh, enabling you to believe and to trust in His Son. He'll do it. He'll do it. But at the same time, let me insist on this. You're responsible. You're responsible being a creature of God. God has commanded you. He said, I command all men everywhere to repent. Come to me. You're responsible. What I'm saying is, all whom He represented owed a debt. All men owe a debt, especially the men whom He represented, men, women, and boys and girls. They owed a debt to who? To God's law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy strength and all thy soul. That's the first and great commandment. You owe God that. I owe God that. I'm in debt to God's law. I'm in debt to it. All whom He represented owed a debt to God's law and to God's holy justice. A debt that they could not pay. My God, that's bankrupt. Bankrupt. They didn't have nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. That's beggars, paupers, lost everything. They didn't have nothing. They couldn't pay. And all their salvation was conditioned on Him whom God sent. He had to take the responsibility of their debts and have their sins transferred to Him, placed on Him. Now you think of this a little bit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the lawmaker. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the lawmaker, and He's the lawgiver, and He's the judge of the law, and He is the executioner of the law. Yet He Himself come under the law as our representative. Huh? Everything about God's salvation is conditioned on this person whom God sent. Everything. Your soul. Your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul. The value of your soul. The longevity of it is all conditioned on this man whom God sent, who was made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that are under the law. How's he going to do that? Well, by his obedience unto death, he stood in the place of his people and he rendered obedience unto God in every jot and every tittle of God's holy law. He satisfied the law and he satisfied God's holy justice against those who are under the law and indebted to the law. He stood in their place. And through his obedience and satisfaction to God's law and justice for them, for those that he chose before time ever was. Listen. Satisfied the law and justice of God by establishing righteousness. Law requires righteousness. That's what the law requires. Righteousness. He so kept the law that by faith his righteousness comes and covers all believers, and we are not condemned by that law because of him. Now, once we were under the law, we all who are believers, we were under the law at one time, and we tried to keep that law in order to earn favor from God. We became slaves and servants to that law, thinking that our partial obedience to some aspect of God's holy law would earn us favor in God's sight. We once were under it, but now we have no such motive. We have no such motive now. The law said, this do, and thou shalt live. This do, and thou shalt live. And while we were under that law, we were like slaves, trying to escape the penalty of that holy and just law. We tried to be rewarded for what we did. And so our salvation is conditioned upon us and not conditioned upon him whom God sent. How important it is this morning for you and me to see the truth of what I'm talking about. That this salvation is conditioned upon he whom God sent forth. And he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Listen. His righteousness is the only righteousness that will stand us in good stead with God. That's the only righteousness that will cover us. It's like over there in the Old Testament talked about the cover was too short for the bed. Didn't cover the whole part of the man, didn't cover his legs. The cover only came down to about his knees. The cover is too short. But the cover of his righteousness is not too short. It covers us all. And we're as righteous as he is, as righteousness as God can make him. This righteousness that we have by imputation, that cometh by the grace of God to all that believe, was wrought out by him. It was wrought out by him who was born of a woman. Of him who was born of a woman. And the merit by which we enter heaven is the merit not made by our hands, but of him that loved us and gave himself for us. So we're redeemed, see, from the law. By our Lord's being made under the law, we became sons. And we're no more servants. We're not slaves now trying to earn God's favor. We already found God's favor in Him whom God sent. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We found favor in Him. We don't disregard the law. We love the law. But the law, our motive to service unto God, is not generated by the law. It's generated and it motivates us. It's the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in us that He wrought. All that God required of us, He wrought it in Himself. His righteousness is imputed to us. And we believe Him. And we trust Him. And we follow Him. And we love His law. We're not against it. We're for it. But it don't motivate us because we're not servants now and slaves trying to escape the wrath of God and earn favor in God's sight by what we do. But we're motivated by what He's already done in our behalf, in our place, in our stead. The great, see, we become sons, no more sons. Why? Because the great and glorious Son of God become a servant. He become a servant in our place as our substitute. See, if a man does not fulfill all righteousness, he's going to perish. If he's not perfect, he's going to be lost forever. If you have not been perfect in your obedience and in your righteousness, you must take your wages and be gone. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which will it be? Will you take your wages? Or the gift? The gift of God. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. What? He sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. I believe that. That's the good news. I believe it. He only is my Lord and my Savior. Whatever else anybody else thinks or believes does not deter me one iota. Not one hairbreadth. He only. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fullness of time. God's time. His time. For controls every event, doesn't it? Every event. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed. Maybe it's your time. Maybe you heard. Maybe you're interested. Could be that it's your time.